All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 14. We're going to use John 14 this morning as like a diving board into the pool of Scripture this morning as we discuss a really fun topic to discuss, the topic of heaven. Over the last, several weeks, we've been considering those questions that Jesus asked. He asked over 300 questions in the New Testament, and we've been looking at those questions, a couple of those questions. Really what we've done over the last 5 or 6 weeks, however long it's been, we've identified who Jesus is. We have really driven a dagger into the heart of easy believism. We've driven a dagger into the heart of the prosperity gospel. We've obliterated the idea that you can somehow claim Jesus as your Savior but not follow him as your Lord. By now, you should be fully aware that following Jesus comes at a great cost. He called us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him, and that is costly. And today, what I hope to accomplish with you today is I hope to help you find your why. What I hope to do is help you find why in the world you would want to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. And why can really be described using one word. It starts with an H. Can you guess what it is? Heaven. That's it. Some of you got it. Your why is heaven, because heaven is worth it. Today we're talking about heaven, and here's what you got to know. Every believer in Christ needs a theological framework of what heaven is. And if we are not careful, our theology of heaven winds up being defined by culture, by songs, by The Simpsons, by TV. Our theology of heaven can be defined by a lot of things. And if your theology of heaven is defined by anything but Scripture, your theology of heaven is likely wrong. We need a right view. We need a biblically informed, biblically defined view of heaven. You want to know why? Because a biblically informed view of heaven gives us hope in life and hope in death. This morning, my hope is to provide you with a biblically informed framework for heaven. We're going to be talking about heaven for at least 2 weeks, maybe three, but at least 2 weeks we're going to be talking about heaven. Today, we're talking about heaven proper. What is heaven like? Where is heaven? How do we get there? Who's there now? We're talking about heaven today, one of my most favorite topics in the world to talk about. If you have your Bibles open to John chapter 14, let me invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of John 14. Remember, we're going to use this as a diving board. John 14 is a diving board into Scripture. So which that means that we're going to be in several passages of Scripture this morning. But I want you to hear how Jesus describes heaven, and I want you to hear the question that he asks us about heaven. John 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus says these incredibly encouraging words, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Feels good to hear that, doesn't it? Yeah. Brothers and sisters, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, in the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've told us about heaven in your word. I pray you would help me today to accurately explain heaven according to your word. Pray you would help us in this room to grasp the beauty of heaven, to grasp our why we would follow you. One of those reasons why is because we know from your word that heaven is real. And heaven is beautiful, and heaven is glorious. Give us a glimpse of that this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Three biblically informed observations about heaven. First, I want you to know the reality of heaven. Hey, here's really good news for you. Really good news. Heaven really is a place. That's your first subpoint under your first point. The reality of heaven. Heaven really is a place. Hear me. Heaven's not an imaginary place. We aren't floating around on clouds somewhere. Heaven isn't just an idea. It's not wishful thinking. Heaven isn't symbolic. It's not just a state of mind. Heaven really is a place. And here's what's fascinating. Most of you already have a solid start to your theological framework of heaven. Most of you already have a good start. Even if you've never considered heaven from Scripture, most of you already have a good start. You already know a little bit about heaven that is theologically accurate. Let me explain it. Let me just ask you to do me one thing. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I need every hand in the room to point in the direction that you think heaven is. So when I get to three, you're either going to point up, down, left, or right. All right? On the count of three, tell me where heaven is. One, two, three. Heaven is up. Like, we know that. We think that. That's in our language today. Heaven is up. Now hear me. One day, heaven will come down. That's Revelation 21. We don't have time to unpack that today, but one day heaven will come down. But for now, heaven is where? Up. Heaven is up. Let me share with you how you know that heaven is up. One, that's all over culture, but also that's in Scripture. Let me give you three examples. Do you remember in the Old Testament there was a guy named Elijah? Do you remember him? And do you remember his cohort, his protege? What was his name? Elisha. They were walking together. If you consult 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll find Elisha and Elisha are walking together and talking together. And listen to what happened. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. As Elijah and Elisha continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared. Hey, would you be scared if you and me were out walking and a chariot of fire appeared? I'd be pretty scared. A chariot of fire, horses of fire suddenly appeared, and they separated the two. And then look at what 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 says. Then Elijah went up into heaven, which means that Elisha was doing this because Elijah went up into heaven. Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Before he fed the 5,000, he prayed. Do you know what the Bible says exactly? Let me read it to you. That Jesus looked up. Into heaven, looked up into heaven, gave thanks, and then proceeded to feed the 5,000 people. In Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus' last words to the church, Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. Here's what he said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And after this, Acts 1, verse 9 says that Jesus was taken up. He was taken up. We see that all over the Bible. We could point to 100 different scriptures, 100 or more different passages of scripture. Here's what you got to know. Here's what you take away. Heaven really is a place. And for today, heaven is up. Secondly, I want you to know that heaven is a real place. It's a real place. When I say that, what I mean is heaven is a physical place. It's as real as this pulpit. It's as real as that door. Heaven is a real physical place. You are not, good news, you're not going to go float around on clouds when you die. You're not going to be floating around somewhere in the atmosphere. You are going to go up somewhere to a real physical place called heaven. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, turn in your Bibles. I need you to turn there. Revelation chapter 4. You got to see it with your own eyes. I don't want you to think I'm making stuff up. Revelation chapter 4. When you're there, say, I'm there. I've heard three I'm theirs. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, hold up. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, hold up. Okay, we're all there. Revelation chapter 4. Listen to the physical words that John uses to describe heaven. Revelation chapter 4, John says, by the way, this is a description of present heaven. That's heaven as we know it today. That's heaven that is up. John says, after this, I looked, and there in heaven was a what? An open door. Pause for 1 minute. Let me tell you a story. Some of you know this story. This particular verse will always and forever be tethered in my mind to little Grayson. Always and forever will this verse be tethered in my mind to Grayson. I won't go into a ton of detail, but most of you know that Grayson, our son, passed away when he was 2 years old, almost 3 years old. He battled leukemia for over half of his life. He was almost three when he passed away. And here's what I need you to know. I need you to know that's important. He was two, almost three. I want you to know that because at 2 years old, he had never read Revelation 4:1. Do you believe me? He did not know what Revelation 4, verse 1 said. He had no theology of heaven. Shortly before he died, we knew that the day was getting close. We knew that death was imminent. Shortly before he died, Grayson pointed over to a wall. Imagine like maybe this wall over here. He was laying in his hospital bed, and he pointed over to the wall, and he called his mom and said, Ma, scared. And Carla said, What are you scared of, buddy? Door. And Carla said, there's no door there. Go back to sleep. You're fine. Go back to sleep. And if you knew Grayson, you knew that little dude was persistent. That's the nice way of saying that little dude was stubborn. So he complained. Like he held fast. No door. There's a door. Finally, he said, okay, you know, he fell asleep. And what you need to know about me, maybe some of you are like me, I am a slow learner and a fast forgetter. Anybody in the room like that? Slow learner, fast forgetter. I did not connect Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to my 2-year-old son seeing a door. It took a visit from a doctor, the hospice doctor, who came in and said, Carla had shared with the hospice doctor what we had seen, what Grayson had said and seen. And that doctor said, oh, I wish I could tell you how many people see something like a door before they die. And it was like almost as though the Lord like grabbed me and shook me and said, hey, have you read my Bible? Don't you remember that Revelation chapter 4 thing? There's something like a door in heaven. And from that point, we set Grayson aside and we said, hey, buddy, have you seen the door? Are you scared of the door? Oh, I'm scared. And we said, hey, buddy, you don't have to be scared anymore because behind that door is Jesus. So if you see that door again, you can walk through that door. So we asked him again, Grayson, are you scared? No. He said, I'm not scared. Carla asked him, are you ready to walk through that door? And he thought about it for a minute, and he said, no, not ready to do that. Here's what you got to know. Understanding a theology of heaven makes you unscared. It makes you not afraid. When we understood that door was a scripturally accurate, that there's a door leading to heaven, and we could tell Grayson, hey, if you see that door, don't be afraid. You can walk through that door. Jesus is on the other side of that door. It removes all fear. When you have a theologically accurate picture of heaven, it removes all fear. You can take that story and do with what you want. Here's what I know. When my time comes, I fully expect to see a door. I fully expect to see the same door that Grayson saw. I fully expect to see the same door that John saw. And if you're with me on that day, you're going to have to remind me not to be scared, right? Just remind me, don't be scared. There's a door that leads to heaven. That's what Revelation 4, verse 1 says. Look at these other physical descriptions of heaven. After this, I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I heard speaking to me like a trumpet and said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven, and someone was seated on it. The one seated there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian stone. A rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald surrounded the throne. Around the throne was 24 more thrones, and on those thrones sat 24 elders, and they were dressed in white clothes with golden crowns on their head. Flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder came from the throne. 7 fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And there was something like a sea of glass, John tells us, similar to crystal, that was also before the throne. In those 6 short verses, we see 6 physical descriptions of heaven, 6 physical things that are in heaven. There's an open door, there's thrones, there's white clothes, there are crowns, there are torches, there's something like a sea of glass in front of the throne. Those are physical words used to describe physical things in a real physical place. Good news, you're not going to float around like a vapor. You will be in a physical place. There really is a heaven. Heaven really is a place. And heaven really is a real place. That's the reality of heaven. Secondly, I want you to see the residence of heaven. That is, who is in heaven? Like right now, who is in heaven? Well, the first two are super obvious. We're going to say them both together. There's God the Father who's in heaven, and there's Christ the Son who is in heaven. Do you remember in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching. Stephen was a deacon. He was called to serve the church, but in this case, he was preaching the word, and he preached a wonderful sermon. Stephen's preaching. The people he's preaching to hate it. They hate it so much that they pick up stones to kill Stephen with. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. Lost his life because he preached the gospel. Just before Stephen dies, Acts chapter 7, verse 55, describes the scene for us. Just before he dies, Stephen looks up into heaven and he sees something. Let me just read to you the Bible. Acts 7, verse 55 and 56. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. We could point to 100 more scriptures, but make no mistake about it, God the Father is in heaven. Heaven can be defined as a place where God dwells. God the Father is in heaven. Christ the Son is in heaven. Thirdly, angels are in heaven. Angels are there. Now, you need to know, not every angel is in heaven. Angels have the ability to go from heaven to earth. They have there's a highway somewhere that they take. They have the ability to go back and forth from heaven to earth. That may sound strange to your ears, but I can make it unstrange. Flip in your Bibles real quick to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture for you. Jesus has just been born. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13, we read this story. You hear it every Christmas. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to the people he favors. And listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them, when the angels had left the shepherds and returned to heaven. Did you hear it? When the angels left them and returned to heaven, the Bible says the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and tell and see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The angels came down and worshiped when Jesus was born. They worshiped in some field in Israel. And when they were done, where did they go? They went back home to heaven. I told you last week we're going on vacation in a couple weeks. We're going to Yellowstone. When we leave, we're going to leave home and we're going to travel to Yellowstone. But one day we're going to come back. That's kind of a picture of angels. Heaven is home for them, but they're able to leave home, come to earth, and go back home. In heaven, we see God the Father, Christ the Son. We see angels. And here's the really good news. In heaven, right now, are the believers who have died. Those who have died and gone before us, they are in heaven right now with God the Father, Christ the Son, and with the angels. And that's really good news. For me and for you, according to God's authoritative and holy word, when believers die, they go to the place where God is. When believers die, they go to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here's what the Apostle Paul said. We could point to several other passages, but here's what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, a familiar passage to you. Paul writes this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, your body remains. When you die, your soul, who you are, will go be with God in heaven. Your soul will go to be with God. Your body remains. Your body is the temple, the thing which houses your soul. And when you die, your soul, who you are, will go to be with God in heaven. Your body will stay here until the day of the resurrection. But your soul will go to be with God in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's really good news. That's really good news for you. That's really good news for me. You need to know that when you die, you aren't asleep in the grave. You need to know that when you die, you're not going to some holding cell like purgatory. That's not a biblical doctrine. When you die, guess where you go? If you're a believer in Christ, when you die, you go to heaven. You go to be where God the Father is. You go to be where Christ the Son is. You go to be where the angels are. And you get to go to be where your mama and daddy might be. If your grandma and grandpa knew the Lord and they've passed away, then when you die, you get to go and be with them. Brothers, sisters, friends, children. If they knew the Lord, they're in heaven right now. Worshiping Jesus with God the Father, Christ the Son, the angels, and all the other believers who have died before us. Man, what a hopeful picture. A proper view of heaven, a biblically defined, accurate view of heaven, gives us hope in both life and in death. We've seen the reality of heaven, we've seen the residence of heaven, which brings us to our final point. That's the road to heaven. If you've tuned me out, then I want you to tune me back in real quick because this is really cool. You got to see this. the road to heaven. There's three incredible things I'm going to point out to you about the road to heaven. Here's the first one. It's the groundwork for us. The first thing is this, that faith in Christ is the vehicle that gets us to heaven. It's the car that gets us there. Faith in Christ is the vehicle, and I would add the word only. Faith in Christ is the only vehicle that gets us to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's God's gift, not from works, lest no man can boast. Romans 10, verse 9 through 11 says this, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, the Bible says, resulting in righteousness, and confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Faith in Christ is the only vehicle that gets you to heaven. There's no other way. If you want an eternity with God the Father, Christ the Son, and the angels, and all those who have died before us, if you want an eternity in heaven with them, faith is the only way to get there. Repent of your sins, trust in Christ by faith, and pick up your cross and follow him. That's the call for the Christian. Faith in Christ is the vehicle that gets us there. Now, I mentioned earlier that heaven is a physical place. So here's what I want you to do. If you got your phone, pull your phone out and open up Apple Maps or Google Maps, whatever map you use. Open up your maps, and I want you to type the word heaven in and see if you can find some directions to get us from 514 West Rollins to heaven. You know what happens if you search for heaven in your phone? There is no place on earth named heaven. Some of you are doing that right now, and you're like, wait a minute, I got it right here. No, it probably says Heaven's Hill or some kind of a restaurant. There's no place on earth named heaven. By the way, there is a place called hell. Did you know that? Hell, Michigan is a real place. Does it say heaven? Well, it's probably a restaurant, and it's probably a restaurant in London. There's no place on earth called heaven, unless maybe Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That might be. I'm just kidding. It's way too hot down there for that to be. There's no physical place on earth. So the question is, if heaven is a real physical place, if it's a real place, how in the world do we get there? How do we get there? Here's what you need to know. We get to heaven by an angelic escort. God invented Uber long before Uber was a thing. We get to heaven by an angelic escort. Angels take us to heaven. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're probably thinking, like, dude, that sounds really Hollywood. That sounds like something that Hollywood would write. Well, again, flip in your Bibles, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, I want you to see it for yourself so you don't send me an angry email or a letter telling me I'm making stuff up. Luke chapter 16, and let me read to you the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, scroll down or look over to verse 19. The Bible says this, there was a rich man who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day, but a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was lying at his gate. He longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead, the dogs would come and lick his sores. Look in your Bible, verse 22. One day, the poor man died. What does your Bible say next? He was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. Question, Lazarus died, went to heaven. According to the Bible, how did he get there? He was carried away by the angels. He had an angelic Uber escort to heaven. I can't wait for the day where an angel shows up, says, hop in. We're going home. We're going to heaven. We're almost home. Hop in. I can't wait for that day. By the way, I don't want to go too far into this story, but you also need to know that just before Grayson died, he looked over and he waved. This was maybe a day before he died. He waved. And there was no one there. Like, we didn't see physically anyone there. You can conclude what you want. I'm convinced he waved at his angelic escort. According to the Bible, when we die, the way we get to heaven, faith in Christ is the vehicle, But angels are the Uber drivers. Angels are the escorts that take us there. And that's really good news. And now I've got really bad news. Really bad news. Here's our third subpoint. If Jesus does not return, then death is the road that you have to travel to get there. Faith in Christ is a vehicle. Angels are the escorts. But death is the road you have to travel to get there. Unless Jesus returns first, all of us will one day die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's been appointed for every man to die once. But hear me. When you understand that at the end of the highway of death, when you understand that at the end of the road that you have to travel is heaven, then you can face death with hope. Just like all of the biblical saints, just like the Apostle Paul, he faced death with hope. When you know that on the other end of death is an angel waiting to escort you home, then you can face death with a smile on your face. I had a conversation with a man. He was in Florida. This would have been a week and a half ago. He was in Florida. His grandma was passing away. And so I sent him a message and said, hey, how are things going today? And he said, well, my grandma, his grandma was a believer in Christ. He said, well, my grandma woke up this morning and she was disappointed. She wasn't in heaven yet. And I thought, man, I want that kind of faith. When my time comes, I hope I can wake up and be like, oh, I'm still here. I hope that I can face death with that kind of hope, knowing that at the end of death, I get to see Jesus. The only way that you can face death with hope is if you understand that death is the highway you have to travel to get home. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. See if this sounds familiar to you. He said, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, he said. But what does it mean, gain? It means better. To die is better. To die is gain. He goes on to write, now if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I'm torn between the two. Listen to what he says here. I long to depart. That almost sounds like a road you have to travel, doesn't it? I long to depart, he says, and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain here in the flesh, that's more necessary for your sake, he wrote. Paul says death is far better. Death is gain. And why is death gain? Because at the end of the road called death, we get to heaven. We get to go home. Man, I wish I had 5 hours. You may be glad we don't have 5 hours, but I wish I had 5 hours to unpack a little more about the theological framework of heaven. Here's what we've seen. We've got our framework built. We've seen the reality of heaven. We've seen the residence of heaven. We've seen the road to heaven. Next week when we come together, we're going to talk about what we'll do in heaven. Don't you want to know? Like, what's heaven going to be like? What will we do when we get there? Are we just going to play harps and sing all day? I hope not, because I'm horrible at singing. Is that all we're going to do? We're going to do a lot of worship, don't get me wrong. You got to come back next week and figure out all the things we're going to do in heaven, or at least some of the things that we'll do in heaven. This week, my goal is twofold. I wanted to give you a theological framework of heaven because I want you to know heaven's a real place. It's real. And hear me, hell is a real place. It's real. As glorious and as good as you can imagine heaven being, hell is the exact opposite. You can't imagine the goriness, the pain. You can't imagine the ugliness of hell. I want you to know that hell is real, and I want you to know that faith is the only way you can get there. Faith in Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you need to repent of your sin, trust in Him, and be baptized next week. Heaven's real. It really is a place. And I want you to be there with me. That's one of my goals this week, to give you a theological framework of heaven so that you know heaven is real and you would strongly consider trusting in Christ. My second goal is to make sure that you know your why. When we talk about denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus, I want you to know why you would do that. Why? Because heaven awaits. And when you have that kind of a theological framework of heaven, brothers and sisters, you can face death. You can face life with hope. Hey, let me let you in on something. Raise your hand if life is really hard. Go ahead, raise your hand. Is life hard? Life is really hard. Every hand in the room ought to be raised. Life is really hard. Bad things happen. Difficult things happen. Things happen that we can't understand or fathom. If you want to have hope in life, you put your faith in Christ and you trust Him. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. If you want to be able to face your death, then you need to trust in Christ. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Heaven is a real place. And you got to hear me when I say this. Heaven is a guaranteed reality for every single believer in Christ. Jesus will not forget you. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is a guaranteed reality. So when Jesus calls you to consider the cost, to deny yourself, to pick up your cross and follow Him, when He asks you to do the difficult work of walking by faith through trials, through difficulty, through suffering, when He asks you to do that work, you can say yes, because you know that yes, there's a great cost to following Jesus, but hear me. There is a much, 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 much greater reward to following Jesus. Much greater. If you haven't yet placed your faith in Christ, do it now. Repent of your sin, trust in Jesus, and be baptized. If you do know Jesus, then my call to you this week is the same as last week. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Do the hard thing. Do the hard work. Face both life and death with hope, knowing that there's a real place called heaven, and knowing that one day at the end of this life, we will be with Him forever, for all eternity, forever. Every single day, you will be in heaven with Jesus. To God be the glory, and all God's people said, amen. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you're glorified through your word. I pray you're glorified through worship. Pray, God, today you would help us to really see heaven. Help us to see that heaven is a real place. Help us to see that faith is the only way we get there. Thank you for purchasing heaven for us. Thank you that when we place our faith and trust in you, our eternity with you begins in that moment. We get to spend the rest forever, eternity with you, the moment that we place our faith and trust in you. Because you save us. You send your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. You guide us and lead us. And one day, Lord, we know that you're going to take us home. Father, I thank you for the hope that heaven gives us. I thank you for the hope of knowing that heaven is the place where God the Father and Christ the Son and angels, believers who have gone before us, that heaven is that place. And God, as excited as I am to see those who have gone before me, as excited as I am to see angels, I am doubly excited to see the face of my Savior, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the hope of heaven. I thank you for the promise of heaven. I pray, God, you're glorified now in this moment. If there's someone who needs to repent of their sin and trust in you, help them to do that. If there's someone who needs to repent and pick up their cross and follow you, maybe they've been straying from you, help them to do that. Whatever decision needs to be made in this room or at home with people watching on YouTube, listening on the radio, whatever decision needs to be made, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to make those decisions to bring you glory, grow our faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.